USA Chat with Sat, August 24th, 2020.
Hi everyone, this is Sat. Welcome to Satsang to all of us.
Hi Sat, and welcome. It's our honor and pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Everybody
has signed in, and we were in silence and meditation the last few minutes. It's wonderful to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be with everybody on the phone. And we know the way that we like to share and ask questions. We don't know which way it goes, but we're pretty clear if we have any questions. It would be a nice time to ask, or any inspiration or sharing from the teachings. That would be very, very welcome. Just inspirational few minutes that we spend together.
Sachin, with your permission, Sefi Fatemi wanted me to ask you this question. I read it, and if you wish, you can answer it. It is about our Sai Center, and there is a part in the in your writing that you read to us. It says, so is the world real or is it unreal? It is real because the base is the silence. It is unreal because the base is reality. It depends on how we look at it. Real and unreal.
Yeah. Well, is the world real or is it unreal? It is real because the base is silence. It is unreal because the base is reality. There is only one reality. So if that is the base, you can... It's playing with words, and I didn't know it was playing with words, that the both sides saying the same thing, exact the same thing. If one is real, the reflection of it could not be with the substance that the base has. So, Sethide, if you can only contemplate on the words, you see that it's a play of words and it's really saying the same thing, that the shadow of the tree is the shadow of the tree and the tree is the tree, you know, in two different ways is approaching it.
Thank you, Sat. I believe Sepide on Tuesdays has to take care of her mom, so she is not able to talk, but definitely we will contemplate on that, and hopefully we can have a better understanding. If there is any other question, let's use this opportunity, and if any question that is really coming from our heart, let's ask Sat. And if anybody has a sharing or inspirational comment, please feel free to share it with others.
Silence, this is Serenia.
Silence, Serenia.
Thank you so much, sir, for guiding us in this path. Mm-hmm. With that, I have a question from the most precious book that you asked Nidufa to read about the free will and karma.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to share, the first time I read it, I didn't get it at all, sir. But after the Sunday study circle, I went and read it and I could understand it better. In the last line, you have talked about God's will, sir. And in that, you have told that even in thy will or God's will, there is a thin veil of falsehood and separation.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to know what does that mean, sir. Thank you.
Sure, that's a beautiful question. I welcome this type of deep questions. When you think it's your will, and is your effort that is doing it, is one thing. You don't even rely on a higher power. people struggle and do whatever they can to accomplish something. And if they do, they give the credit to themselves. And if they fail, they give the condemnation to themselves. So this is a basic human approach. And then we have those that believe in God and rely on God, but they haven't found the God within that is the closest to their heart. So they say it's God's will. If they fail, they say it's God's will. And usually they don't say it's God's will if they succeed. But in any case, that's how it goes. And that the reality of it is, since God is omnipresent, there is only one existence that we call God. This is the thin veil that needs to come down eventually by the path of self-realization, that I am the grace. When the mind is calm, there is absolutely nothing that what we call grace, meaning that everything goes smoothly without the agitation of the mind. So that is what this is talking about. It is explaining the common approach to doership, and then brings the trust in the God that is someplace that we trust and love. And then it takes you even deeper to the place where it proves to you that your existence, your true Serenia, the nature, the real nature of Serenia before she left home in the form of a body, it is that grace. It is that perfection. So that's what it means.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, this is Adrian.
Hi, Adrian.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about Sunday, what we talked about, how we somehow, you know, when things happen to us, it's because of something about what we are doing or believing in. I've been thinking a lot, and all I can come up with is trying to disengage my mind from the bizarre as much as possible, and to stop expecting it to even make sense anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's anything.
You're doing it right. You see, I think the teaching is trying to tell us for years and years now that you cannot eliminate thoughts by thoughts. And it's hard to understand that, because the only vehicle of survival and identification, reliance for us, meaning human race, was on the mind and its thoughts. So we get to the point in spirituality or religion, which is an amazing point, where you give up. It doesn't make sense to you anymore. It's something is lacking. Something does not resonate with you the way you want it. I mean, you accept it, you enjoy it, you benefit from it. But there is a intersection in our life that somehow questions pops out. That doesn't make sense. Now, this was my life story. And believe me, after doing all sorts of yoga, bhakti, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, all of that stuff, I came to realize that all of those were stepping stones to bring me to where I realized that not going with the mind and not believing everything that we believe from outside from universal mind, means collective mind or our own mind, it is helping us very temporary, almost like a pacifier. But it does not remedy us from a greater struggle. And through my own experience and struggle and inner teaching, I have realized that peace is a very quiet mind. And the mind does not quiet down as long as we identify with it and we converse with it. Mind is the bazaar. It's an inner bazaar and also outer bazaar. Really is. It's only mind. So yes, your realization is right on. When we get tired of all the practices we've done and everything that austerity or fasting or whatever it is that we've done, and we still do not find satisfaction, is the grace of all those steps gives us the key, which is the self-meditation, a contact with our reality, with are you with me or omniscient God, or that, so that we're not dependent on logic anymore or ideas. We have firsthand. As you all remember, past few times that I've been with you guys, when there is a discussion about how to do this and that, I said, wait a minute, let's just stop here and let's just experience it. And this is what we did on Sunday. Nothing better than not so much talk about it and analyze it, but more like contemplating on the truth in the silence of your own heart. To me, that has been what the essence of all of those searching and finding and doing and all of that. And I always call it the last stroke. Means we've done all of that. We've done our charity. We've done our devotion and all of that. That was amazing for our life. Without that, we wouldn't be ready for this. But it gets to the point that God or existence says, okay, now let's see if we can say I and my Father are one.
Thank you so much.
Hi, God, I'm your little flower. I was going to say something about your words from Sunday about nothingness. I've talked to you about this before. When I first came back from Spain, I kept asking you all these years about this emptiness that I would feel inside. And those, it was like 20 years ago. And you said something like, it's actually the opposite of emptiness. I can't even remember exactly what you said because it's in a journal that's in like my storage. But after listening to you on Sunday, it clicked for me that basically what you were telling me is that even emptiness is not what I perceive it to be. And then with the nothingness, it clicked for me in a different way, because what I perceived to be like an emotional void inside, it wasn't really that at all, because you told me that, but I had absolutely no depth of grasping it at that time. But I think listening to you on Sunday, they're somewhat connected.
Yes, sometimes people can say, I feel empty, but that is an emotional emptiness. It almost seems like mild depression. But the emptiness is really nothingness, means no form, no name, just peace as Ananda. And that's our true nature that we are striving to go back home with. I mean, the story that came in one of the Sundays some years ago, it just opened itself up to me in a very visible, invisible way, really describes it beautifully, that we have accepted all of these ideas, and with every idea that we believed, we got farther from our source. And in the way back home, we have to spit these ideas as not true. Not this, not this, not this, not this. And put down our load, our luggage of past, our load of now, the load of tomorrow that anticipation makes us have. So this is a very simple understanding. It's not even practice. It's an understanding that it deepens in us and automatically does the miracle work. All we have to do is have an open mind and heart to it and not brush it away as something like it's just for few. No, it isn't for few. It is our nature. We can't always look up to those few. We need to be amongst those few.
Thank you so much, Gala.
Hi, Satrun. This is Nilu.
Hi, Nilu-chan.
I just want to share something, Satrun. I was recently, specifically for the past few weeks or week, I noticed that how much more clear and visible it is when I go off track. I mean, when my mind starts going to past or future, how much more tangible and clear it is to catch it and say, uh-oh. And then I realized how much comparing to before, it would take God knows how long to just realize that you would live in past or future for days or any agony that the mind brings. And I'm really grateful for all of this, because with all of this tools, practices, your voice, your guidance, it becomes like an IV, like you were saying long time ago, in our veins, that it doesn't allow you to go too far. And I just wanted to say thank you again.
Yes, it's true. I'm very happy to hear that, Nilu. The only reason besides benefit that goes to the person that asked question is that by answering one question, a lot of questions of others becomes eliminated that they don't even want to share, but they have it in their mind. So the beauty of that song, whether it's sharing or asking question, is not just for a question to be asked and an answer to be given. It is far more than that. It occurs something, some place, with different people differently. So that's why I welcome sharing that is appropriate sharing and the questions that are really important.
Salam Tatu, Manta Minam.
سلام تامینه جان.
بخواهد مخواستم این take this opportunity to thank you for all your guidance, for all your teaching and for this opportunity that you have given us. Last night after the the Sunday night, this morning I was talking with my daughter about that thing that you were reading from your talking to yourself about nothingness. And it was kind of depressing to her that it's, you know, the nothingness, then why are we here? Why are we doing all of that? Why are we even in the path to correct ourselves, to be, you know, close to God and all of that? And the not that I quite understand it myself, but I just told her that we should go back to Night Dream and see, you know, if that makes a better sense when you take it to Night Dream. So whatever we see in a night dream, when we open our eyes, it was a dream. It was, you know, either a happy dream or sad dream or fear dream or whatever it is, it's gone. Is that the a way to look at it?
Yes, it is a good way to look at it, and it's I don't know how to what I read is very, very true, at least to myself, and it is over 40 years of experiences, incredible experiences. The thing is that you don't become nothing. You transcend junk. You transcend clutter. You transcend a messy mind. You transcend suffering. You transcend, it says in the most precious, the first and second question, go beyond the bind and experience no pain and suffering. That doesn't mean that we will not function in the world. People that are around me, they know that I'm capable of functioning. Or any of you guys that have practiced and have a deeper understanding, that your life seems to go with more grace than a struggle. So if you look at it with your mind, yes, it's like the mind says, are you kidding me? After all the information I gather, you're telling me that you can take every thought and go to silence? What does that mean? Well, I would say at that point you're not ready for this article. And it's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Question it, doubt it, throw it away. But I assure you, eventually we come back to the point, I am tired. I am tired of this type of living. Even if you have the best life, good food, good air, good companionship, there is an emptiness. I don't mean that godly emptiness. There is a vacant place that somehow we fill it up with different things to not feel it. But it is there because we are not back home. This is the problem. We are not back home with our parents, which is our silence and tranquility. So yes, I totally understand her asking this question. And believe me, when I read the letter from truth to untruth, many people were scared out of their skin. But when they dwell on it and when they looked at their own life, yes, the letter being served to me so many times in this lifetime. Now I know why it's being served. Now I know how to use it. That's when I would say you have a deeper understanding and you're ready to understand this letter.
Thank you so much, Vetra. Mm-hmm. You are absolutely right. Because not too long ago, I mean, not that I'm saying right now it's different, but I am one of those people that really, really tired of this life. So I can truly, you know, I'm not saying that I understand totally what you're saying because you are right. But I just, you know.
We all, I think there is not a human being, no matter how much money they have and how much they don't have, until they feel home within their own self, they are wandering in the bazaar aimlessly. And then in the end, it adds up to a pile of ashes.
Thank you so much, Aziza. I love you.
Love you too.
Chacha Aziz, I'm sorry, this is Sepide. Do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Sorry, I have to apologize because I'm kind of distracted because I have to, you know, deal with my mom. But I think you mentioned question one, of most precious, because I've been thinking about that for years. And I had some kind of an understanding a few weeks ago that I really wanted to share with you to see mm-hmm. whether which floor of this aisle it comes from. Because this concept of pain, you know, being real, pain and suffering, you know, it was always a question that if I'm feeling it and I'm suffering from it, it's real to me, you know, so what is it not real about it? But then it occurred to me that anything that is experienced is not real, because it really depends on who is experiencing it. In a way, I kind of understood what I felt, like that it cannot be real in a sense of absolute truth, because it really depends on the eye of the person that's experiencing this. The reality is going to be, everybody's reality is different, even from pain and suffering. So in that sense, it's not the absolute truth. It's not the absolute reality. So I had, for me, it was a big opening. I don't know if it makes sense to anybody.
It was a big opening. It depends on what your conscious of and what your consciousness holds on to. Suffering is always from the mind, and you can say pain from the pain of the body. You can have a pain of the body and not suffer in the mind, or you can have fear or an anxiety about the pain of your body and have the pain and suffering together. As long as we identify with the mind and body, even to a smallest degree, to that the smallest degree, we experience this type of living. So we're really striving to open this consciousness more to its own reality than the falsehood we gathered in itself. So it takes time to deepen the understanding of this type of teaching. I told you, my body and mind was the student of my reality for, you know, until now, as I'm talking to you, is always, there is a deepening, there is always unfoldment. So we don't have to worry about that part of it. What we have to really see is, like, you see Sepide now, and you see Sepide 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 6 months ago, and you see a series of opening, series of better, deeper understanding, and then the light bulb goes on and says, oh my God, you know, this is what it is. So I think from outside, the guide or the Sadguru points you, and when you take it to heart and put it into your life, the light bulb is always comes from the inner. That's when you really understand it the best.
Well, I wanted to say, one time I remember Radha said this too in the FDE, where she said, like, aside from, like, doing things for you or thinking about you or preparing, like, to see you, really nothing else tastes good. Nothing else really feels good. Nothing else really satisfies in any kind of way. And I feel like that's so true. And that, just waiting for that satisfaction of seeing you or hearing from you or doing something that is going to make you happy, it really, I think it's just a means to make everything else tolerable at best. I remember she said something exactly like that in FD. And I feel like it's so true. Like, everything else is just a technicality until it's linked to you again somehow. So I wanted to really thank you for that, Gauran.
Yeah, some people's approach to release is through this type of love. That's what makes them one-pointed and releases other anxieties from their lives. and that's the usage of having this type of love. It's just having it one-pointedness and eliminating other thoughts. And then some people will feel the love because they know that is the truth, what is being spoken, but they are more inclined to go through the wisdom and practice it and find one-pointedness. So that's what they call in India, bhakti and jnani. But for me, it's not one or the other. It has to be mixed together to really be effective. Like, I know that you translate, you do all sorts of things daily. It's not just you waiting for me to see me, but you really feed yourself with the wisdom day and night, as you were sharing to me this today too. So yes, as I said before, for all of us, the wisdom and love, when they are together, it makes the wisdom makes the love wise, and the love makes the wisdom sink in to penetrate. So this is the benefit of bhakti and jnani as one.
Because when I hear what you say or when I type what you say, that just makes me love you more because I see the source
exactly.
of what's coming.
Exactly, exactly. If I was giving you rubbish things, you wouldn't feel more love. It is love of the self. I've been saying that for so long. The love that you feel, it sprung from your own being to you. So the more you embrace this love, the more you have this dance within yourself. Because through the wisdom that you hear, and it just pierces your heart and say, yes, this makes sense now, or this is what I need, or, you know, this type of thing.
Or, wow, oh my God, wow.
Yeah, it's like the time I heard Baba's name, like I said in the Nazanin book, we were in a room of 250 people for transcendental meditation because of a speaker had come from far away. And for no apparent reason, and it did not go with the topic at all, he talks about the story in India where Baba resurrected one of the people he knew very well, that he was in transcendental meditation, which was Hisla. I didn't hear the story well, and then I asked other people what the story was. He just said, Sai Baba. I looked around, and I said, oh, my God, he is the one I have to see. He is it. As if something happened to my heart. I can honestly say I heard a click into my chest. And then the love. Before I even ended up in India, there was a tremendous love because I knew he was my savior. I knew that he will help me. So yes, it's amazing how a little bit of information can open up such a immense source within our own self.
Arjuna, this is Gopi. I've been in your presence, Arjuna, for almost a month and a half. Of course, I was 2 weeks in quarantine, but I feel like I'm in your presence physically. Always my experiences, and I'm sure everybody else's experiences, when I am in your presence, there is no repeated thoughts. There is no disharmony. There is no even good and bad or any judgment based on the thoughts, repeated thoughts that it may cross my mind. It's always joy and happiness. And I'm so, so grateful for this opportunity or any opportunity that, you know, I could be
in your presence. My question is, how can we carry this joy and happiness and not having this harmony or feeling this harmony and all that all the time? The disharmony that you're mentioning, since nobody else knows, is because of the separation from me. Is it true or not?
That's exactly right. I was going to, yeah, that's exactly right. That's the only disharmony that I would have.
Okay, I would say this is your path. This disharmony will do its job and then it will leave you. That's what I was explaining in the some time ago when Ida was saying that all I can concentrate is to get myself here. I mean, you're saying that you feel peace and joy and all of that is because you're near and because of the, you know, the situation or the atmosphere that you are in. And yeah, my answer is, I don't know. I've told people many remedies. None of them works really because I want to calm them down. But I've gotten to the point I say it is what it is. I had it for so many years and nobody tried to remedy me. So we're just, this is, you know, Baba talks about different love toward God. One is like a mother, you call him a mother, divine mother, one divine father, one divine child, one divine lover, one divine friend. And because you can have him in any form that suits you. And who is to say is the wrong way to go? And the same goes with guide or whoever you look up to or whoever you befriend.
Well, thank you. And the second thing I just want to mention briefly is I don't know what is wisdom, but I do know serving you brings me a lot of joy and happiness.
Oh, here you have it.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. So grateful.
As long as you're happy and if you feel the peace.
yeah. Thank you, Angela.
Sure. And remember, every time, I think those people that mentioning that they are serving their me, or as I mentioned that I was serving Baba or all of that, remember, you're serving yourself. Honesty, God, this is the truth. Everything that I did for Baba in the center or anywhere else, or it added to my expansion. So, and the love that I had for him, he was not in need of that love. God knows he had many. But that opened the path to wisdom for me. So, like I said, everything is a stepping stone to back home. And sometimes in the beginning when people were coming, they would get envious of someone that had this type of love, or they would belittle someone that had this and that. And I kept saying, my gosh, this is two wings. Get over it, you know. It is. You go toward the wisdom and it opens up such a love that you say, oh, my God, what just happened? I went to know the truth and now I've fallen in love. And it's just the nature of God. It's a very, whenever you get attracted to the truth, there is a magnet in it that pulls you with love. Thank you, everybody. I enjoyed everyone's company and our oneness. And good night to everyone.